Well, fantastic.
Take it.
You sound nice and clear. Sound good.
Good. Yeah, you do now too, actually. You do, you know. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Sounding good.
Yeah. So, is it good to be back in LA?
Yes. The time change is a little goofy, you know, because you're 8 hours ahead of me, and I was right there with you. I was 8 hours ahead, and I made a quick trip there and back, bing, bang, boom, you know. And the time change is kind of crazy, 8 hours, you know.
It is weird adjusting, isn't it? Like that big time difference.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, go on, darling.
I was just saying that, but as we were saying yesterday in our brief show before the technical mishap on the time slot, but I was saying yesterday that I just love London. I'm looking forward to going back again in March sometime. I'll let you know when, but and hopefully we'll
I'm
be
sure
together
London
this time around.
I'm sure London loves you back. I'm sure
London thank
loves
you. The people there are very, very cool. Very, very cool.
That's
what do you call them, Londoners?
Nice to hear. Yeah, we call them Londoners. Obviously, I'm not a Londoner because I'm not in London, but...
You're in Chestershire, so you're
I'm just a British chick, you know?
You're British. I like that. I like British chick. That sounds hot. That sounds good. I like a British chick. I always want to date a British chick.
You married one, do you?
I did indeed. We didn't even date. We just got married. The hell's dating?
I know.
Damn straight. That sounds like a movie. Oh, my God. That could be a movie.
My goodness. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That could be a movie.
Get a script.
You know what I mean? Because we have guests joining us on our show a little later. We're going to talk about a movie called Endless Love. Not Endless Love. I like that, though. Ageless Love.
I've been going around getting all riches in my head all day, and I've been ageless love.
What's that again? You just broke up again. You just broke up again. I'm sorry. What's that again?
That's okay. I've been literally going around with Lionel Richie's song in my head all day, and I've been going around singing my ageless love, you know. Oh, my goodness. So it's funny you mentioned that. That was hilarious. See, in tune again, Andy.
I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm here. Do you hear me?
Oh,
yes.
Did it break up again?
Yes.
I hear you.
You're back. We're fine. Excuse us, folks. I'm in the USA. Amanda is in the UK. We've never met. This is show number 485. We have over 600 shows total, including the broadcast of the weekend shows and so forth. But 485 programs of Coast to Coast, the Andy and Amanda show here. Join us. You dial 515-605-9888 anywhere. You can pick up a phone and do that. You can also send us an email at andyandamandashow@gmail.com. We'll send you a link to get on the show. And I believe you can go to blogtalkradio.com/AndyandAmandaShow, and you can click a button right there to join us via the internet if you have a headset and speakers. I believe they're working on that, or it might be up already. I haven't checked, but I know that's supposed to happen. So,
yeah.
Anyway, you can join the show today. It'd be great to have anybody on who wants to comment about anything that happened to be on your mind or on somebody else's mind that you agree or don't agree with. Let's talk about the Super Bowl. Philadelphia Eagles, Kansas City Chiefs coming up on Sunday. What a great game that's going to be. We have, for the first time in history, two black quarterbacks going at it on opposite sides of the line of scrimmage. Who do we have? I was going to say Randall Cunningham. I'm baiting myself. That goes back to the 80s. We have Jalen Hurts for the Philadelphia Eagles and, of course, Patrick Mahomes on the Kansas City Chiefs. Two outstanding players creating an outstanding game for Sunday's matchup, I believe. And also, for the very first time in history, we have two brothers going at it, and that's going to be the Kelseys. The Philadelphia Eagles center, Jason Kelce, going to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And his brother, Kelce, I forget his first name, is a fantastic tight end on the Kansas City Chiefs. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame, too, on opposite sides of the line, facing up against each other.
And
I wouldn't want to be their parents, because their parents are going to be there. And you got to wonder.
What a situation.
I guess they win either way, you know, but one son's going to win, one son's going to lose, you know. Hopefully, our Eagles win. We'll see what happens. You know, we hope they win.
I wish them all the best.
Yes, thank you. It's going to be a good game. It goes on at what time it goes on? 5, 6, 7. Midnight time. Am I right? I think it goes on at midnight your time. Is that right? That's unbelievable. Super, but it will be broadcast in the UK.
Oh, fantastic!
Thank you.
Just come over to the UK.
Thank you. Yeah, I can have some of
the
casted.
Yeah. All right,
I was going to say, I forget what I was going to say. Totally forget what I was going to say.
I told you, memories are shrinking at the audience.
You're breaking up again. Yeah, because you're breaking up again, sweetie. I don't know what it is.
I still can sort that out. Maybe in connection.
Okay. You're definitely, now you're breaking up a lot. I don't know what it is.
Okay. One darling, one second.
All right.
Let me make some adjustments.
All right. I'm here. La 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 la. I'm thinking about you, sweetie. Yeah, as I was saying, that would make a great movie when you have like two radio, like us, a movie about us. You have two radio co-hosts thousands of miles away who never dated and they've never met and they just decide to get married. That could be kind of cool. That could be a cool movie. You know, the movie would just start, you know, they put this radio show together and, of course, probably more sophisticated than our show is with producers and people behind the scenes and all this kind of thing. And we do have people behind the scenes. We can't forget about Cornell. You know.
Of course.
Who introduced us and put this thing together. And also our fabulous guest who's been on and stepped in for us every once in a while, who's a number one country star in country radio. His name is Kevin Michaels, and he's been on quite a bit, you know, and comes in and helps us out with music and co-hosts and does all this cool stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And who else is behind the scenes? You know, all the news media. All the news media.
Oh, we forget about the, what they call it? The,
The Sinkters? The Sinkters.
No, I wasn't actually thinking of that. But now I have a whole other image in my mind, Andy. Thank you. I was thinking of, you know, the little people like of Wizard of Oz or the ones
the
like
wee
of,
people. We
Charlie
represent
the
lollipop kill. The what?
Yeah, the lollipop kids. Yeah, those ones.
The wee people. The wee people.
Yeah, we got a team of those behind the scenes. Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. Hey, listen, I want to get to something real quick before I forget. The January job report 2023 was supposed to be about 117,000 created jobs in the United States, right? And you've got Donald Trump a few years back saying he had the greatest economy in the world ever in the United States, all because of him. And, of course, he's the greatest economist in the world and, of course, knows more about battles than generals do and so forth and foreign relations and everything else. He's the greatest president that ever lived. Some say Lincoln, some say beyond, as we've heard him say on the show. So I'm going to play the facts behind knowing that the job report was supposedly 117,000 for January and Biden's ruining the economy and everything's going horrible and things are, you know, down the tubes and forget America and bring back Donald Trump. Here we go.
It was supposed to be like 118,000 jobs. 517,000 new jobs in January. Unemployment rate 3.4%. Hasn't been that low since May 1969, 53 years ago. This is a stronger economy than Trump had when he said that he had the strongest economy in the history of the world. This is doing better. But go ahead and bring on the Republicans telling me that Biden destroyed the economy, destroyed the country, that we're living in the rubble of the United States of America. Y'all live in fucking fantasy land. Let me tell you what's coming because of these numbers. These numbers are so fucking good. The culture war bullshit that's about to explode on right-wing media. We haven't seen anything like it. If you thought CRT was bad, if you thought liberals are going to take your gas stoves away is bad, if you thought Xbox is woke because they have a power-saving button was bad. You have no idea what's coming because of this. When the economy is this good under Democrats, the right-wing trolls will make shit up that you would not believe to scare their base, to distract them from numbers like this. All they can do to make you afraid, to distract you, to make you forget the fact that the economy always does better under Democrats.
Well, thank you for that information. Appreciate it. Wow. Always appreciate it, man. 515-605-9888 is a number that you can get in and call, comment, whatever you like to talk about, agree, disagree, whatever it might be. And we'd love to hear from you. And you know what, what I'm going to do real quick here, if I can find this. Because we're still trying to figure out – hold on a minute. What's going on here?
We're trying to figure out our lives, Sam.
Yeah, hold on. Oh, excuse me.
Oh. Wait, did you just use the bathroom?
Yeah, I just had – I'm sorry. I tried. Couldn't read.
Oh.
Yeah, anyway,
hello,
yeah, I'm back.
Hope you got your air right. Freshener. Yeah.
Yes.
Welcome back.
Now, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I was God, what was I going to say before? I was going to say I was going to compliment you, you know, and what a great job you're doing here, you know.
Would you rather practice or have natural talent? I said the best is both, right? But she's got a great natural talent. A great natural talent.
I agree. Thank you. You heard it
from
the man
himself. Wow, thank you, boys.
Thank you.
What a compliment. Thanks. What did I do to deserve that one? And now he's like, well, I don't know, but...
Yes. I was going to... I forget what I was going to... I was going to tell you something. I forget. We talked about Super Bowl, which is terrific. Oh, you know, the... You know, the earth, they had a horrible earthquake over in Turkey, and death toll was 2,200 and 3,000, 5,000. Yeah. Now they're saying 7,000 people in an earthquake.
It's awful, isn't it? Like, my heart is breaking when I saw how desperate those people are right now.
It's just unbelievable. We've had
a big one.
You know, we've had. It was a big one. Thank you. It really, yeah. Here in California, we've had earthquakes here. I think I told you this a while back, but I remember one time I was sitting in the previous house I had here in right near Pasadena, and my daughter was in her room, and I'm out living in one like kind of big, safe kind of lounge chair, you know, big lounge chair kind of thing.
Yeah.
And and the floorboard is a wood, wooden floor, you know, whatever, and. And it started rolling like an ocean, like ocean rollers. Like all the floor panels were rolling, and then the show was going side, like I'm on a sailboat, you know, up and down. And then that stopped. And then it was like the movies. Then you had the you hear the glass and kind of everything shaking, and then it thud, and it all stopped. And my daughter came out and said, "Dad, you hear that?" I'm like, "Feel that?" You know, yeah, you know, it was spooky. And since we've had a couple more, but after a while, and I'm not from here, I'm from in the great state of Pennsylvania. And, we don't get much of that there, but here in California, what I've learned is it's just part of the culture, you know, earthquake, an earthquake, you know, it's an earthquake.
Yeah. Well, we don't really get much of that here either. I mean, we get tremors and things like that, and they can be quite powerful at times. And actually, it's a funny story. So I had spent the night watching horror movies, and I was exhausted. It was like 2 a.m, went to bed, and I was woken up at 4 from my solid wooden bed was shaking so bad, and I was panning around the room. I woke up in shock, right? I sat right in the bed, and I'm looking around the room thinking, nothing else is moving, it's just the bed. Oh my God, there's like a poltergeist in here or a demon. You know how your mind plays from just being woken up. I freaked out. I literally called my parents at this point. I was like, oh my God, my bed is shaking. I didn't know what to do. And they said, calm down, it's just a tremor. You know, because I was living on my own, by myself out in the middle of the country. It was just like, my God, it was just, it was a frightening experience after watching all those horror movies. And it was just a tremor. I felt so silly.
Spooky. We're going to, we have some special guests joining us in just a minute. We're going to be talking about movies and film and actors and what goes on behind the scenes. We've touched on this with other films and folks we've had and introducing what their projects. We've got a really phenomenal cast coming on. The two major stars of this movie called Ageless Loves are going to be joining us in a minute. And talking about films, yesterday or whatever it was, Friday, I forget, yesterday, I guess, we talked about the remake underway now of A Few Good Men, and they took out, you know, Jack Nicholson couldn't do a remake, nor would you want him to be in a remake of the film. So they picked, looking here at the credits, they put, what's this guy, Donald J. Trump in to play Colonel Jessup. And I have a clip. I'm going to play a clip of that film. And then we're going to bring our special guest on and talk about some other things. It's going to be a lot of fun. Don't go anywhere. And let's just take a listen to this and tell me what you think. It's kind of cool. What I heard, I thought, that's kind of a neat idea. But here's a preview of the film I can't wait to see.
This should be fun. Great movie so far.
Thank you. Anyway,
it was called Silent Night.
Be it. Yeah, we'll have to wait. I'll get it later. wait a minute.
Oh my goodness. It's there.
All I want to do is yet. This. I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have. Fellas, I need 11,000 votes. Give me a break.
Okay, that wasn't what we were talking about. But anyway, let's just keep it. We'll get back to that. We will. We're going to play that. We have it. We're going to get back to it. I'm just giving all these hand signals. Okay. We're going to now, let's see if we can see the magic. Let's see if everything's working good today. I think we're doing well today. I think we have with us Nicholas Rodolfo and Elizabeth Caponiro, right? Both with us here today, I believe. Elizabeth, are you on? I think. Let's see.
Yeah, I'm on.
There
hey!
And Nick,
welcome.
Are you with us? Do we hit the right buttons?
I'm here. I'm just waiting for everybody to cheer for Beth.
Oh, no, let's applaud both of you. Woo!
Thank you.
No, no.
Please,
I'm blushing. No.
Such a great co-star. Thank you.
Thank you guys for having us.
Oh, you're
We've had some. Susan, and I want to thank you for hanging in there with us. We're talking. Amanda and I are just about 8,000 miles away, and we've never met. And we've
crazy.
Been doing the show for going on 3 years. Yeah, we're 485 episodes
wow.
and have a whole bunch of guests, special guests, including yourselves that have joined us from the world of music and film and entertainment and television and you name it. We did politicians, you know, it's been quite a ride.
It's
been
a fun
ride.
It's been a fun ride.
And we want to thank you for joining us. So let's get right to it and tell us about your film, which I happen to catch the trailer. I think that's all I can see as of right now. And you'll tell us about where one can see this movie or when it's going to be out and where. It's called Ageless Love. And let me just tell our listeners real briefly. It's about a woman who, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's about a woman who's 40. She's got a bunch of kids, like five kids, who meets somebody who's in their 20s, and you could be more specific, and they develop this incredible affair, and you go behind the scenes and see the relationship between the guy and his parents and the woman and the kids and the whole thing, and it's an amazing story, and it's based on a true story. And without further ado, let's turn it over to you guys, and tell us about that movie and how you guys got into it and, you know, your acting career and, you know, the trailer. From what I saw, you guys both do an amazing job. I mean, you guys are really both phenomenally talented actors, really.
Absolutely.
I mean that.
Thank you guys so much.
Well, Nick, I will let you explain. I just wanted to clear something up being the woman in this film. When the two met, Yale was 22, right out of college, and Nina was 36. And then, spoiler alert, when they actually get married, Yale is 24 and Nina is 38. So there's a 14-year age gap. And, yes, she's a widow with five children. So Nick can take it from there, but that's the age gap is pretty incredible.
Okay.
Yeah, it is. But yeah, no, that essentially is the premise of the story. The beautiful thing is that it's based off of a true one, right? So, I mean, there's so little opportunity. There's not much for people to play real life characters, whether that be at a level of Golden Globe, Academy Award films, or if it's low budget independent films. And so the story, yeah, I mean, you pretty much hit it spot on. It's about this young guy who works for Boeing, Yale Schwartz. He is straight out of college and from a rather traditional household in the 1960s. His parents were not overjoyed to hear that he eventually met this woman through his aunt, Shirley. Shirley is an absolute pip, played by Val McAdoo.
Yeah.
She was also a producer on the film.
And she's been on the show. She's been on our show.
Yeah,
she has been.
Val. We like Val.
Pete Postiglione and Val both asked me to say hello to you both as well. So I'll put
wonderful.
It out there now. But yeah, so that, I mean, and the parents aren't really excited. Yale's parents are not excited that Yale is about to go on this journey with this woman who is much older than him and has five children. I mean, I'm sure my – listen, no. I mean, you couldn't tell with Beth. I mean, she's lovely. That was one of our concerns, and one of our concerns was, you know, we want to make sure that this is believable, this age difference, because we were close to the ages that Yale and Nina were at the time when we were cast, but of course there's going to be some concern there. I mean, Beth could probably talk more about that. I don't want to keep rambling here.
No. I honestly, no, you did a great job. It was so touching because I think we both feel really blessed to have been given these roles, because it being a true story, did we have the experience where the man who wrote it, he's the actual narrator, he's dying. Like, how this movie came about is Yale Schwartz was actually diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Out of nowhere. He was given about 3 months to live. And they told him, and he had no idea. He was healthy as a horse. He had a mini stroke one day, and when he went in to get checked for why that happened, they said, well, you know, you have stage 4 pancreatic cancer. So with that, you know, death sentence, unfortunately, his daughter Mona asked him, well, Dad, what do you want to do with your last, with the rest of your life? And he said, I want to make the movie about me and your mom.
Oh,
I finally want to make it into a film, because he had written it years before and he had performed it as a one-man stage play. It actually became like a therapy of he got over Nina. Yeah, because he never got over. She obviously died before him, and he never got over her death. So he basically used this to be his therapy about this show. So he wanted to take his life savings and make this film. And so we filmed a lot of it in his actual house. He never changed it from when Nina died. So it was very dated. So it just felt very like they were there always. I mean, it was, Yale was very critical. Yeah, Yale was with us every step of the way. And on day one, he was like, you two better really work on your chemistry, because we were madly in love with each other. And you two need to really get it together. So like,
and
we had
how many days? I mean,
12 days.
I'm sorry, keep
literally.
Going. I'm
sorry. Yeah, no, absolutely. Jump in, because like 12 days total to film, but this day one were some of the most intense and intimate scenes. So like, to not know each other, we had no read through, we had no practice, we had no anything, and it was both of our first films. So like, to have that pressure because Yale was dying. Yale was dying. Yes, and Yale was dying, so we had that time limit that we were working with, because when he gave the film to director Joshua Coates, it was with the stipulation that he had to see a first cut before he died. So like, there was so much pressure to get it done, get it shot.
What a story. That adds a whole new dimension to this thing.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Let me go back a little bit. So this film was both of your first major appearances in a film for both of you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, my God.
And I just want to say, Nick was only 19. Like, I would love you guys to see this film. Nick was only 19 years old, so kudos to him, because he plays – I mean, this movie is like – he's Yale. So it's his story. He really, really brings it to life. And, you know, that's a huge responsibility for such a young actor, and he did a really great job with it. So I just want to
And you had some pretty, intimate scenes as well in this thing, in this movie, in the film, as it progresses.
I'm married in real life, and I have two little kids, so for me, I just had my second baby, and that was like very difficult. I had never I left my 8-month-old and my 2-year-old at home to go on the set for like 15 hours. And wear a bathing suit. That's the one thing. I mean, if everyone can give me
some
grace there,
I'm
like, I just had my second baby. But yeah, so it was just different challenges we had to overcome. But yeah, I think the intimacy part was hard to get over at first for me.
That is
tough. So many people, don't they? I mean, sorry, Andy. Apologies.
I've told this before. You know, I remember, I forget who was on, we were talking about intimate scenes in movies, and I done some acting work out here in L.A. and some TV shows and movies, and I was part of this group, acting group, that directors, they had this, I don't know, I think they were graduates of UCLA, drama school, whatever, and they had this quarterly meeting of all these directors that they recreate a scene of a movie that was done a while ago, how they would have done the scene if they directed it. And so I got a call, and I've been doing, a couple TV shows here and there, and, I kind of got, I got an email, and, hey, could you do this movie called, a scene in a movie called Leaving Las Vegas. I remember the movie, but I had no idea what, I thought about gambling or slot machines or something. I figured, I'd go in, we'll have to roll some dice or, maybe play a couple of slot machines. I mean, how difficult can it be? So I'll do it. I'll be glad to do it. And it paid a little bit. Well, it was the kind of thing you just do, it's an honor. Thank you. You'd be glad. And a few, let me look that up. And I found out I was playing the part of Ben, who was originally played by Nicolas Cage. And then I went down to the studio to meet the casting director and the people rewriting it and all that. And we talked about the parts and all this and how I envisioned it. I play guitar for a living. I do the show. That's my main deal. You know what I mean? I'm acting. I don't know what the heck. But so the funny thing is that they asked me, what do you feel about the relationship between Sarah and Ben? And I'm like, well, I got some ideas now. So they said, listen, do you have any plans for that? Can you hang around? And I'm like, I think so. Why? And because we have Sarah coming back for for the casting, and if we do that today, then we don't have to have the callbacks. So we can do chemistry matches right now. And I didn't really know what a chemistry match was. You know, what's a chemistry match? I didn't, I play guitar.
Oh,
so, and I said, and what they did is, what I didn't know, then I got to step back a little, I didn't know, they said, we'll send you the sides folks, or like all that, the environment where the scenes take place. And so we'll send them to you like tonight when I first got this thing. And it never came. It's typical. The night before, I get the sides. And then I realized there's this really intimate sex scene. Nick is dying, and he has passionate sex with
my
God. Right? And I am very, very modest. There's no way, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
They said, they asked if I could stick around. And, of course, my wife was waiting for me in the car because she needed the car that day. And I said, I don't know what to do. I said, let me go tell my ride.
See if it's okay with my ride.
I got to make sure I get to my ride. And then when I said, Sue, we got this chemistry thing happening. I'm not sure what it is. We got to mix a couple of things. I don't know, whatever. Some kind of chemistry, something rather. So little did I know that there was 12 Sarahs and I was on the couch that it, yes.
Oh.
So I'm like, Hollywood. And
wow.
Anyway.
God. I'm speechless. Wow.
That was, yeah. So I can relate
That's
with
hilarious.
what that is, so where was the film, where was it, your film made? Where was it filmed? Where was it done?
In Wayne, Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
Like
Wayne,
the main line of Pennsylvania?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Right out, suburbs of Philly.
Yeah. Are you guys both Philadelphians, Pennsylvanians then? Or yes?
You can't tell by the accent? I mean, I am. I have like a very distinct, I think, Philly accent. But Nick, if you can tell, Nick's got a little bit more of a Jersey accent.
Joycey. I'm from Joycey. I get the rap of like Jersey Shore, I'm kind of just I am from Jersey. I'm closer to New York. I'm about 45 minutes out of New York, so I do a lot of stuff there in New York. So I might be getting a little bit of that New York accent, trying not to, but
here we go.
Very central Jersey. But we almost had a chemistry read too, and I thank God that we didn't, because honestly, Nick can attest to this. No, I just mean, no offense at all, but first day, they always tease, the director, Nick, that it was trying to open up, a a shell. Like, I was so closed off. I was, like, at home with my babies and my husband. I was like, what do you mean I have to kiss this young boy who I have a nephew the same age? This is so crazy. Like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk. But then, you know, as we got to know each other and everything, it was so much easier. And, like, you know, I do feel like we really become the characters. But that, for me, I couldn't even, like, we joke that so many times I look away and you think I'm nervous, like, as the character. But in reality, I was also very nervous just being with someone who wasn't my husband. It was very hard for me to, like, let go. So
did you go through, like, you had to go through the audition process and the callback process to get these roles? I mean, was that a difficult?
So surprisingly enough, I kind of got auditioned by accident, right? I submitted an application, my resume to Josh, and I'm sorry, it was the producer Pete. Pete. So I submitted application to Pete, and I was the first one on the day, first one. And that's usually, I mean, it spans across the web. Sometimes it's a good thing to some actors. Sometimes it's not, to be the first of the day, because you're easily forgettable after, I don't know, say maybe at times a couple hundred people, if you're up at a high level of thousands, you know. So it was a little nerve wracking, but it just so happened that I had to take my cousin for a knee surgery at University of Pennsylvania. And I wasn't 100% sure I was going to take the role. It was all the way out in Philly. And again, I'm in Jersey. So it was at this kind of like closed off little studio, little acting class where they held auditions. It was just like the perfect place to do it. It was really isolated from the loud noise. And I was just like, this looks kind of,
I just want to add 2 hours away. Jersey's like right over the bridge. He's like 2 hour away.
Yes.
Keep going. Sorry.
Yeah. It's true. I went in and I auditioned and I got the gist of it. And Josh was fantastic. Josh Coates was brilliant. I walked in and he got up and gave me a hug, and I've never experienced that. I've only been acting for 4 years, but I've never experienced that from a director before. Yeah. So anyway, time went on a couple of days, and he ends up calling me and says, hey, listen, you know, we want to have you in for a chemistry read. And that's great. But, you know, as actors, we get very used to getting right to the finish line and then being told that it's a couple thousand feet further, you know. So you just kind of like take it with a grain of salt, getting another audition. So anyway, that night, on that same day that he called me and said, maybe later in the week we'll have you come in for a chemistry read, that night I was playing soccer with a couple buddies, and I get a phone call from Josh, and he says, Yale chose you for the role and wants you to play him, which was an absolute honor. Oh, my God. I was flipping out because, this was my first film as well. Oh, my God. And even to this day, reliving it, I have goosebumps. So that was my process.
And Nick is literally, he's 6'2", and Yale was 6'2", blue eyes, like so many things. Their birthdays are a day apart. Like, it is so weird much they match up, but it is, like, really scary how we all ended up on this project, because thing, I was the exact same age that Nina was. I had a very different process where Josh saw my like profile and was like, oh, she's Nina. Like, this is the girl. He thought I matched just her look, her energy. And he was like, I just had this feeling about your picture that, like, you were it. And sure enough,
they're hugging and kissing.
So they call me in for a read, but this director keeps emailing me, and I'm like, is this a joke? Like, come in to read for a lead in a feature film? Like, I had stepped away from acting to have my babies, right? And I was like, no, like, this is a joke. There's no way. So I didn't even believe it. And then I get this, I just respond after like three different attempts of them contacting me, and I was like, hi, because I wasn't thinking about going back to acting until, like, I'd just done commercials and stuff, but, like, until after my son was at least one, right? So he was only 8 months. I was like, what, you know? And I finally said, you know, is this for real? They tried to make, like, you know, come at the end. I think we can fit you in at the very end if you want to come. So I'm still on the fence about it, if I'm even going to go. And sure enough, that night before the audition, my aunt, my mom's only sister, passes away suddenly. the day of the audition.
No.
So I go to my mom's house. Yeah,
no.
I go to my mom's house and I'm like, I'm not going to this audition. My aunt just passed away. My sisters are all there. And I just end up mentioning to them that I got asked to come in to read for this role. And they were like, well, Beth, you've got to go. Like, you have to go do this. And I was like, no, I'm not. I'm like not dressed for it. I'm in like jeans and a t-shirt. I'm like, no, I want to be here with mom. And they're like, you got to go. So I'm like, I don't even know if this is real. So they're like, well, take your sister with you. So I take one of my sisters in case this is like not legitimate. And sure enough, I was like, oh my God, this is real. All these, there's girls there in like 1960s Gatwick dresses, like the poofy dresses. There's guys in suits.
Whoa.
I was like, oh my God, this is real. And I am not prepared. I'm in jeans and a t-shirt. This is insane. So I thought there's no way I'm getting this part. I'm seeing girls like in pearl necklaces, just like reading their lines waiting to go in. And I'm like, uh-oh, like I messed up. I'm like, okay, well, whatever. And I go in and same thing, Josh just welcomed me. And he's like, Beth, I've been waiting for you all day. They called me Elizabeth, but like Beth is my nickname. So
they're
like, we've been waiting for you all day. And I just read and same thing. He said, we're going to call you back in for a chemistry read. And then instead I got a call saying instead he showed the footage to Yale. Let Yale pick the two main characters, and we're just going to have you guys.
Wow.
You know?
So with Yale.
And I was like, okay.
So if Yale was seeing everything and being in the house, the actual house, and knowing that this was a true story, did you guys feel changed by playing the roles that you were? Did you walk away finding that it kind of had an effect on you in some way?
I was gonna say,
I mean, you played him. Remember, there was one day where we thought he died. Do you remember? Like, we literally walked in.
Oh my goodness!
Share. He was like completely asleep. He used to sleep on a cot in the living room because he's on hospice at this point. So any day he could have gone.
Gosh.
And we walked in and they were like, yeah, this morning the crew thought that he was dead because his mouth was wide open and his eyes were closed and they just thought he was gone.
No. Yeah.
And but Nick, you especially tell your story about Yale because like he used to coach you specifically because you played him. I mean, there's that beautiful picture of you talking to him in his wheelchair and you know all the advice he gave you.
Sure, sure. Naturally, right? There's a pressure. It feels insurmountable. But upon meeting Yale first, you kind of there's this excessive need to want to thank for the opportunity as an actor, right? You always want to thank.
Mm-hmm.
And for this being a person that chose me to play him weeks from, his life on Earth, not continuing. It's just that was the commentary that went on in my mind. We spoke often enough. I didn't want to get overloaded with how he believed he was, only because if you had somebody asking you, how do you drink water? How do you love? How do you that? It's a type of introspectivity that is just, it's almost sacred. So I just did my part in listening to how he spoke to Beth, how he spoke to Josh, and more importantly, how he spoke about Nina. Right, because it's about their story.
Mm-hmm.
So
I
didn't have Beth had a, believe it or not, Beth, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I believe Yale and Beth had a stronger connection than Yale and I did because our relationship, Yale and I, it was more of a, I'm going to add this comment here and hopefully you're listening, Nick. And and that was my job. So, and again, we had limited time, but I'm sorry to your question. Yes, of course we walked away differently. I mean, you come away with a new hope and perspective on love. And I know it sounds cliche, but I mean, there's something to be said about the cliches, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
walked
it is.
Away
with you have an insight into that. Yeah.
Yeah, he would tell us stories after we wrapped every single night, just go on and on about family stories about him and her and just how they were. And they were just like newlyweds the entire time they were together, which is so incredible to me. Because I'm thinking, like, God, five kids at home. Like, I can't imagine that they had that. They were just like, they couldn't keep their hands off of each other. And he said, no matter film, what's really important to me as like my dying wish is that people believe the love. Like, I really want to show the love that we had for each other. So if you guys get nothing else right, like, I want to really make people feel something from this film. And I really do think that came through. And I felt like, you know, playing his muse in a sense was like, I remember the first day them being like, oh, she doesn't have mommy body. Yeah, she doesn't have mommy body. And I would be like, oh God.
And then my dancing as well was another thing.
Yeah, Nick's dancing. He was like, I'm sorry, Josh, but I was a damn good dancer. Like this kid.
Oh,
like,
man, yeah.
Dancing.
Let me real quick interrupt.
Yeah,
I gotta tell you this real quick. So I it's a long story in my mind, but it was very short in the moment I was doing it. So Beth and I had a dancing scene that we had to do. We did the jitterbug. Absolutely anyone listening here who has any connection that's going to maybe benefit me in the future is going to log off, because I am a terrible dancer. You know, theater goes out the window.
No.
I truly am. And we had to dance, right? We had to convincingly portray these characters, and dancing was a part
of
that.
They were,
like, that.
Competitive.
They danced a lot.
Yeah, they used to, like, dance and compete and stuff. They were very good dancers.
So
yeah,
so we were dancing in one scene, and it was after a really long day. It was the hours were strenuous at that time. And I was dancing with Beth, and I just couldn't get the steps down. And Yale's watching from the other room, and he looks at us, and then Josh calls cut, and Yale goes, Josh. And Josh is like, oh God, you know, and then Yale goes, the whole room's quiet. Yale goes, I hate to say this, but I was a damn good dancer. And I'm like, oh no, oh God. No.
Nick even said, he was like, someone else want to dance for me, Pete? You want to dance for me? He felt so bad.
Yeah,
we
were trying to
Nick
cut to other
to
people's
dance.
Feet. It's like, oh no. So it was terrible.
No,
we pulled it off.
But on the flip side of that, Yale, we went from that to Yale saying, to Yale crying on, what was it, day three, crying during a scene where Josh had to stop because he thought something was wrong with him. He's in the other room and he's just like sobbing. And he's like, oh God, I got to go check and make sure he's okay. He checked on him and he literally started crying because he said, the way that you two are with each other, I swore for a second my wife was back with me, because the way we would improv and I would like give Nick a hard time. Like, you know, I would like joke with him and like, it's just kind of their way, how they were. Like, she would tease him type thing, like, about winning all the time at cards. And he hears us playing cards and just kind of joking with each other. And he's like, for a minute there, I really felt like my wife was back here with me. He's like, you don't understand, because you guys weren't alive at this time. But how you are right now in this scene is exactly how we were as a couple.
Oh,
and, like, you guys
incredible.
Just nailed it. And he's like, he was just overcome with emotion. And he was like, Beth, Nick, I need you guys to come in and hear this. And he told us and was like, how amazing. If that isn't the best compliment you can get from somebody. Yeah, it was amazing. So
let me ask you this. First of all, folks, we were talking about the film Ageless Love. And our lead actors, Beth and Nick, are with us today on our show. Can you tell us where one might be able to find or look at this film? I want to let everybody know where they can see it, when they can see it.
It's out today, isn't it?
It's out today. Yeah, it's on Apple TV. It's Amazon, DirecTV, Verizon, Comcast, YouTube. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. everywhere. Vudu, all over
Great.
The place. You can get a DVD. You can. It's on select airlines too. It actually got picked up for select airlines. So
terrific.
If you're flying, you might be able to catch it.
Terrific.
Yeah.
We have
in,
with
in
this
the
also.
U.S. and Canada though. Sorry, Amanda.
U.S. and Canada. Gotcha.
No.
We have Cornell. Are you with us, Cornell? I think Cornell's here.
I'm right here, guys. How y'all doing?
Hey,
hi,
Cornell.
What's up? How you doing? How's everybody?
The Matchmaker, how
guys,
are you?
So
yes, I've been
show.
Talking to you. Thank you for having us. Appreciate you.
Oh, definitely, man. It's a pleasure, man. It's a pleasure to really hear. You know, I was listening, man. Y'all sound great, man. Y'all sound great.
You know,
thank you.
I'll tell you what else is terrific.
You're welcome.
I'm a Philly born and raised. I'm loving life
Me
in California and L.A. And I would not live anywhere else. But I do love Philly and get back there to visit and so forth and play music there. But the great thing also about this is what's going on in Philadelphia in terms of media and film and productions, and it's great to see. There's an incredible talent pool there. That goes far beyond goes far beyond Rocky. It's so good to see. You know, it's
for
it's,
sure.
It's, it really is. We've had some others we talked about earlier. You know, you guys know Michelle, I guess.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Yeah, Nick. You know, Nick was in Game Day. Her
I was
game
in
day.
Game Day. Yeah, I don't know if you guys got
yeah.
to see Game Day, but I played Marco
oh,
Forte.
Amazing.
I was the guy with the
yeah.
long hair.
Yeah.
My hair was long
yeah.
at the time. That
yeah.
was that
yeah.
was me. That was
yeah.
that
wow.
was
Nick was in that as well.
yes, I want your autographs. Now listen,
no,
that,
please,
right?
No,
and, that's really yeah. true. You know, I remember once I did a I produced a pilot show, which is still kind of somewhere 167 film clips later. I was doing a real quick. I was doing in 2013 and 14. I was doing some acting work out in L.A. and I was in a pilot of a TV show. At that time, was going to be shopped to Bravo, and I don't know where it is or if it's still on, but it's called Silicon Valley. And it was cool. You know, I was in the pilot, and they didn't bring me back for anything else. But hey, I'll take the pilot. But anyway,
sure, yeah.
While I was in the pilot, and you know, four of us actors, and they were putting the cameras on trucks. Like, there must have been 80, 90, you know, tremendous amount of people behind the scenes.
Sure.
And I started thinking. I mean, you know, when you sit down, you watch a TV show or a movie, you see a group of actors, whatever. You don't see what's going on behind the camera, and it's just an amazing amount of people with various fields of expertise. And I was sitting there thinking to myself, you know, as they're resetting the set or whatever, readjusting the cameras, that 70-80% of what you see on TV, in my own opinion nowadays, is crap. I mean, there's so much junk out there. It's hard to believe that people
yeah.
write their check for half this
yeah.
stuff, right?
Yeah.
So I started
Amen.
Thinking, and I was getting, and I got a good paycheck for doing what I was doing. You know, I did that. I was in New Girl and American Horror Story and a bunch of things. And, you know, I just got these gigs
oh, wow.
and
yeah.
had an agent here. And it was all cool, and my main thing is guitar, and I did this stuff just as whatever, you know. And so I was sitting here looking at all the people behind the cameras with all the junk that's on TV, thinking to myself that all these people got to be on this page to do this together that are getting paid to be in this profession. The cameras are faced the wrong way. You know, how – you know, for people
wow.
watching
what a
TV,
beautiful way
great,
to say that.
Wouldn't
yeah.
it be great to do an episodic – that explores the lives of these people who get to put
wow.
on shows together and to be in these shows. So I came up with a concept called casting, and it was going to be initially about a guy and a girl who meet at the extras, central casting, if you know what that is, back here in L.A. It's all the
yes.
a lot of the people that come to L.A. and they stand in line and they get jobs in the background or what people call extras, but it's actually called background. So and then I went to Philly, and I forget what for, but my agent here said, Andy, you and Philly, if you're going to be there for a while, and I was there for a little while, and they said, there's a film coming to town, and they need some folks, and we got a couple things for you to do. If you can hang around, it's a Rocky sequel called Creed. And I asked, what the heck? So I got to do Creed. That was like a winter gig, practically. It was several weeks, however long it was. It was a good paycheck, and I did it. And I had
wow.
some background roles and some minor speaking roles as a friend of the guy from
wow.
from you know, it was kind of cool. But what I realized is
that's
there were some
amazing.
Days there. There were some days there where they had 1,000 background actors, background people.
Yeah.
We're going to call them extras.
Yeah.
Background.
The crowds.
And they had
sure.
this, yeah, and they had this great big soundstage in Delaware County somewhere, huge soundstage. And there's a great big green screen. Hey, and a great big green screen, and the Rocky boxing ring, so to speak, was in the middle. And the scene is supposed to take place in the summer. No, in the winter in Liverpool, England, right? And they put 1,000 people in this green screen, and what they make the movie, they take the green screen, replace everything with all the people, with thousands and thousands of people in this great big arena in Liverpool. And they, unlike L.A., you know, when they shoot a scene and anybody's not in that scene or anything to do with it, they put them in base camp, they put them somewhere else and just work with. Here, they kept everybody there. It was so hot that people were kicking off their shirts and pouring water over themselves. And the scene is supposed to happen in the middle of winter in an outdoor stadium. And
wow.
But what happened,
wow.
there were some people, and I'm looking around, you know, having done a bunch of work in L.A. and I was doing this thing, and I'm walking around, I'm thinking to myself, you know, I got a better idea for casting. I'm going to go up to some people who have no idea what they're doing, who've never been next to a camera, let alone in front of one, and we're going to make this TV show about them and their exploits through the film and TV business and how they make it. But they,
wow.
and they truly have never done
that
this before in the real world. In the real world, they've never done it. So what better – how do you pick better actors to play the parts of people who are just getting to acting and people who've really never gotten acting. Bingo.
Yeah.
So, wow.
So I put a crew together. Right. It took a long time. We had the whole 10th floor, and we created this big entertainment agency called I think it was called Big Acting Agency, with offices all over the world. We had this website, and it was a real world acting agency that we created to act as a portal between people watching the show and the show itself. So you can actually submit yourself to be a background actor on the show or to begin the show. But even the show, it's not reality. There's a script and cast and the whole thing, but it was like based on the real world. And I had this part where I played a guy named Steve, and I'm like, I had a little more acting experience than a lot of people. And my girlfriend, my living girlfriend, was a girl named Lisa, who was very artsy, and she was a manager at Chickies and Pete's. And a lot of this takes place at Chickies and Pete's, mm-hmm. like Cheers, right? When we did the breakdown, Chickies and Pete's, folks, is a great big sports bar. It's a chain now outside of Philadelphia, very, very well known in Philly. So
we
so
may have gotten Nick in there underage, just by the way.
No!
So Chickies and Pete's, and Pete Scirocco, who's great, he's the owner, and he catered our sets even when we weren't there. They sent a Chickies and Pete's truck, they fed us, and the whole thing, they're great. But anyway, this is kind of cool. We put the breakdowns, and folks, what a breakdown is when you put the script. You know, we need these actors to play these parts, and the actors look at the breakdowns and say, "Oh, I want to audition for that." That's what a breakdown is. So we had to find Lisa. So imagine this: we're doing a show, a TV show about the acting world. Only in the acting world would I have 195 women that want to live with me. You've never met me.
Oh, my.
And I'm thinking, Hollywood. And I'm a married guy, and I get all the pictures and all, you know, you submit on Actors Access and all this, and you get the pictures and the bios, and I'm telling my wife, I think we make a cute couple. He said, what do you think of us? I'm like, we're good here. And
she's a saint, clearly.
But it's the whole world, and we're not finished with this yet. We're going to come back into Philly and do some more. I'm not sure when. COVID put a huge, of course, stop to everything. But we're going to be doing more and coming back into Philly and doing some more things in there down the road for the show casting. So maybe we'll talk and even get you and your some other folks involved in this thing and see what happens. But it's a cool concept.
Yeah, right. Let us know. Yeah, let us know when you're back on our coast for sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, right.
I have on the agenda Super Bowl, Eagles. You guys are from Philadelphia.
This is a sore subject. Nick's a Giant fan. We beat you twice.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not going to talk. Oh, man.
I'm a diehard Eagles fan, so we can talk to you.
I'm a Philadelphia. Definitely. I'm Philly.
We are in 23 countries around the world listening to us. All over the globe, and people are hearing the podcast of our show after we do the live show. And the podcast has actually become more popular than the live show because there are not a whole lot of people who tune into the internet to find talk shows. There are a lot of people out there. We have a good base, but the podcast is 189,000 listeners or something like that. I forget, Cornell knows more about that than I do.
Wow.
But,
awesome.
Yeah, it's a good number. It's a good number. But the so for those of you around the world, a lot of places, football is in U.S. soccer, where we have the NFL and football is not soccer. We have the former coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, Andy Reid, who's with Philadelphia for 14 years. He's now with the Kansas City Chiefs, where he's been for 10 years, going against his former team, the Eagles. It's going to be quite a matchup. It's going to be – hey, yeah, Nick, who do you like?
for that matchup?
For that matchup,
I don't know. If I'm a Giants fan, it's almost like I have to say the Chiefs. But I mean, you know, I don't know, man. I used to play a lot of sports when I was younger, and I watched it a lot. But I haven't since starting acting. I was a baseball player. I was ready to go to college, play baseball. So I don't know. There's a little sports in me. Yeah, it was a major left turn into acting. But I don't know. I don't know. I should just say the Eagles, just so I don't get yelled at afterwards. But, you know, let's just
yeah,
say the
smart.
Eagles.
See,
go Eagles.
You know,
yeah.
I give him a hard time. He knows. He knows.
Yeah. So. Don, who do you like? Don, who do you like?
Don't ask me. Ask China that question.
I think America, we're Birds fans. I mean, everyone loves a good underdog story. We can't help it if we're number one. I mean, this year, it's not usually the case.
Go ahead, Cornell. I'm sorry.
Anybody have any Eagles parties in Philadelphia? I might, jump in.
Ha!
I'd be crashing them.
Yeah.
It changes things. With two little kids, we keep trying to figure out where we have been invited to a couple little, get-togethers, but it's mostly what do we do with the kids? So nothing crazy. Yeah. Nothing crazy. I'd love to be in Arizona, to be honest. I told my husband.
I'm going to be.
Are you? Oh, my God.
I'll be in Phoenix.
Yeah,
I'll be in Phoenix.
Oh, my God. Are you going to the actual game?
No.
I'm fine.
No. But I'll be there. I'm going to go to the Philly. I've already got a listing of where the Philly bars. I'm going to go, I think, Thursday or Friday and start hanging out at all the Philly bars and all that kind of stuff, and just kind of being part of that.
Got him. So jealous. I begged my husband. We're having our 10-year wedding anniversary this year, and I was like, please.
Good for you.
He's like, what do you want to do for it? Where do you want to go? I was like, I want to go to the Super Bowl. Okay, that's what I want to do.
I wasn't invited to that party, by the way. I mean, I didn't get that invite to that anniversary party.
I wonder why. Oh, my on-screen husband,
goodness.
That's why.
Yeah, really.
That's
oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I think that my take is the Eagles have so much depth. There's so many ways they can score that any defense, obviously that's why they got to where they got to, any defense is going to have a very, very difficult time taming them. They can be beat, obviously. They can be beat. And sometimes, even the games they lost, I scratched my head and wondered where the defense was. Those are the films that Andy Reid's looking at. Where is that defense? And I think, they're a phenomenally the best, second best defense in the NFL. They beat the 49ers. Everybody thought that was going to be a tough game.
People
are saying, what a great matchup, 49ers Eagles. Man, I think it's going to be great. We destroyed the 49ers. I mean, absolutely destroyed them. And I think. I think we have the ability. I think the Eagles have the ability to really command the Super Bowl. And my prediction is going to be like a 34-28 or 34-24 game. Mm-hmm. Eagles win. And
I love that.
Right around there. In the 30s to the mid 20s. Right in that vicinity.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
It's definitely going to be close. But I think what's going to be great is if and when we win this one, we will have beaten two of the greatest of all time. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is for sure going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Oh yeah.
So if we beat him and Tom Brady as our two Super Bowls, come on, you can't say that we were handed the Super Bowl. I mean, he's injured. But he has 2 weeks to heal that ankle, so he is going to be in top shape. He's an amazing quarterback. He's mobile. Yeah, for sure. And Hurts, he wasn't 100% either, and he's such a mobile quarterback. There's just so many ways. I love that the Kelce brothers will be facing off against each other. I think that is so cute. They put out a saying that their mom can't lose because one of her boys is going to win the Super Bowl. So I thought that was so cute. And I just think an old coach coming back to face his former team. It's just like so nostalgic. It's going to be great. And I think Eagles are going to take it by just a couple, maybe 3 points.
And the interesting thing was Andy Reid, now coach of the Chiefs the last 10 years, fired the Eagles coach
Nick Sirianni. I know. I heard that too. Karma.
Nick was an assistant
Karma's
coach
coming
of the
back.
Chiefs. And you got to remember this too, that. Teddy Pendergrass, not Teddy Pendergrass. He was a musician, wasn't he?
Oh.
Who was the former Eagles coach, Teddy Pendergrass.
You were from Fort Worth.
Who was the guy who took the Eagles to the Super Bowl? What? Teddy Pendergrass.
Doug Peterson.
Yes, Peterson. He used to play. He was under Andy Reid as well at the Chiefs.
He was his I don't know if he was his quarterback, but he also was the quarterback for the Eagles.
For the Eagles.
Back in the day, Doug Peterson.
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting how this whole thing is the nebula of all this. It's just kind of really you know, be an interesting game. And we'll talk more about it on Friday's show. We'll do our Super Bowl preview.
Yeah, hopefully Teddy Pettigrew has to get a text on Sunday.
I was like, who are we talking about? Like, I thought I knew. So I used to do a sports podcast. The brand name is Broad Street Best because the Broad Street Bullies and because all of our stadiums are on Broad Street and the alliteration of Broad Street and Best. So I used to do like sport writing and reporting and all that kind of stuff. So sports used to be my life, and now acting is. So it's funny, but I like to dip in, and when Philly's doing well, I get back into it, but I kind of got out for a while too. But it's
that
exciting.
That is so cool that you actually got to stand you got to stand on the sidelines, right? You were on the sidelines of Eagles games,
right?
Oh, I did,
right? Yes.
What was that like? What was that like? Oh, my God.
That was,
what was that
until
like?
Ages Love came along. That was, and my kids, of course. That was my, like, the best thing that's, like, dream come true. My first ever dream come true. I went to school for broadcasting, and literally my dream was to be an Eagles sideline reporter. So I submitted a one-minute video, and almost 1,000 other people did, too. They said we picked you out of, like, over 900 and some tapes that we saw. And I won, and I got to go with the team to New York. It was like, it's such an experience, I can't even tell you. And then I did the promos for like the following contest, and then the people that ran it actually went to the Chiefs, ironically, and then started the contest down with the Chiefs. So it's a lot of friends of mine now work for the Chiefs that did the contest back for the Eagles. So
I remember I was going to mention to you. You also had a gig with QVC Television, correct?
I do. Yeah, I'm a guest on there, actually, currently.
Do you know somebody named Holly Love, who's also a guest, Holly Love? She does the travel on bags.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Yes. I'm like trying to...
Holly and I go way back. As a matter of fact, I introduced her to QVC. I was on QVC. I was the music on a show called Jamming in the Kitchen with a guy named Steve Bryant, who at the time did just about all the shows. And I played music to 500,000 people every Wednesday night prime time. And so I was at QVC for a while. And it really did amazing things for my music career. I mean, you know, just incredible. Because even – I remember one time Steve called me up on a Sunday – and he asked if I could, and I'm starting my music career. I'm starting to play all the clubs in the Village in New York and the Bottom Line, the Electric Factory and all that, and Philadelphia. And today I remember I played all the Philly Folk Festival and all the venues there. And so Steve called me up and he said, hey, can you check your stats on your internet, on your website? And I'm like, I think I can. I don't remember how to do that. And he said, do me a favor, check it for me and call me back. And this is on a Sunday, and I played every Wednesday night. So I checked, and it was through the roof. I mean, thousands and thousands of hits on Saturday. And I called him back. I said, "What? How'd you do that?" He said, "We were talking about that we had this computer that we're marketing, a laptop, and we wanted to show the connectivity and the bandwidth and music. So I said, why don't we go to our house musician, Andy Kimball? Let's go to his site, play some of his music, and see how it." And QVC was very – between QVC and WXPN in Philadelphia were – instrumental, no pun intended, in my music career. Really made it happen.
I always say the viewership is like unbelievable for QVC, so that's amazing. I used to work behind the scenes there and give studio tours, and I can tell you that people used to come from all over the country on buses, literally busloads of people to come and tour the studio, and I like to watch their favorite home shopping show. I was like, this is insane, but it's literally like a cult following, and it was really cool to see. And now to be a guest on the other side of things is really awesome. But it is, it's like, it definitely has a very strong following, so it's very cool to be a part of.
The director of marketing for QVC is the husband of a singer-songwriter, a good friend of mine, Megan Carey. His name's Peter. He's a marketing director. I don't know if you know him or not. He's in advertising, marketing, whatever. But anyway, and QVC, folks, is the former home of what was Commodore Computers. Did you know that? The QVC actually took over Commodore Computers real estate when Commodore went out of business?
I did not know that. And I should, because I used to give tours, so I should know that.
QVC was is located where the original Commodore, remember the Commodore 64 back in the 80s and all that? Commodore Computers.
Yeah.
QVCs. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's a whole city. And that's after I was on there, I played every Wednesday night. I played piano and guitar. And Steve would begin. Steve played harmonica, and I was there playing guitar usually. And the whole show began with us jamming together. The show's called Jam in the Kitchen. Then he'd go into the next room where this great big table with all the food and everything was set up. And by the way, folks, the food's real. And they really do cook it there.
Yeah.
And,
oh, their chefs are amazing. We used to
amazing.
Get to
yeah. And what yeah. they didn't tell me, my first gig on the show, was that I was also the taste tester. And I remember they made brownies, and the director standing next to me off camera with the brownie. And I had no idea why she's standing there with a brownie, but like, because he's going to give it to me. And he did, and kind of shoved it in my mouth. And Steve goes, and Andy's he's also our official taste tester, folks, and I'm munching the brownie. Andy, what do you think of that brownie? I'm going, the brownie's falling out of my mouth. I'm like, oh, it's delicious. Oh, yes. Can't wait. Can't wait.
Wow.
You too.
That's hilarious.
Yo, dude.
Oh, what's
nice, man. And I really appreciate you guys on the Andy and Amanda show. I truly appreciate you guys. Seriously.
It's great having you on. Again, we're talking about the movie, folks, called Ageless Love. Ageless Love. It's a phenomenal story. Again, if you're joining us late, it's about a love affair between a 30-some-year-old woman and a 20-some-year-old man, and what goes on with their lives and their families and the whole thing. And she's got five kids, and it's just an amazing story. You can catch the trailer if you go Ageless Love and go download the movie or get the DVD or maybe hop on a plane. You'll see it playing. But anyway, great story, true story. Great actors, and we're really pleased to have them both join us on our show today.
Petey just said, have a great show. Petey, sorry, Pete. I'm so hard.
Postiglione.
Yes. They have a great time. Text me. What's up, Pete?
You're such a great guy, Pete.
He's fantastic.
Yeah, he's been on the show. It's great, great. And again, it's great to see all this talent coming out of Philadelphia and everything that's going on there. These movies, these TV shows are just really great. Is Diane Heary still doing casting for a lot of the productions that come to town? Diane Heary?
Yeah, she's the main casting agent for Philly, New York, kind of that whole this Northeast region, pretty much.
Either one of you know Rodney Robb of the Actors Center? Rodney Robb. The Actors Center.
I don't. Do you, Nick?
No.
I don't.
No.
Rodney and Edie Robb is a very, very well-known talent rep. Or she represents like the lead of a lot of Broadway plays, the lead of Hamilton and a lot of cast of Grey's Anatomy and so forth. That's Edie Robb. I mean, the folks that she represents are making significant incomes, needless to say. And her husband, Rodney, had an incredibly successful acting school in Philadelphia, and is responsible for John Gallagher, Aubrey Plaza, and so many more. And I get to know Rodney. As a matter of fact, he got me into the acting side of the biz. And he's 93, I think, 94. They moved to L.A. Their son, Artie Robb, was in the original Christmas Story. He played Schultz, who said, I double-dog dare you, I triple-dog dare you, from the Christmas Story.
Oh, yeah.
He was also in the movie the play Les Mis in New York as a kid.
My favorite.
And
who did he play?
Yeah, he was a kid. He played Givenchy or something like that. Givenchy.
Oh, Gavroche. Yes. My favorite.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So he's out here now. I'm still friends with him, and they run a management firm, and they produce pilots called Station 3 here in L.A. And Artie just recently got a show picked up by ABC, and they're up in Vancouver shooting that now, which is great to see. But anyway, it's a great business, and
That's awesome. Great
to have folks in the business joining us to give us some behind the scenes and what goes on and how you do it and how it's done. And love having those conversations. It's something we've been spending a lot of time on in our 3 years here on the Andy and Amanda show. And I guess we got to go. Gosh, lights are blinking up and on. I'm like, no, we're just going to keep talking. You have to kick us off.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, no, really. Thank you guys so much. We really appreciate this, truly.
Real
yeah,
quick, any do you guys have things coming up that we should know about at this point, or is it too early?
Oh, my goodness. I'm shooting a film right now. It's being shot on 16mm film. It's gonna come out of New York. It's gonna go the festival route. It's gonna just be sent to all the festivals. I'm about 2 weeks into that. We're probably 3 months away from completing that. And then that's it. That's really it for me, I think. Oh, and I mean, I write as well, but that's a secret that's going to be exposed, even though it just was. So, you know, we'll see where that leads. But that's really it for me. So.
Yeah, terrific, and you have other, you were in Game Day. He's had a couple of
things. Oh,
that,
I mean, well, I don't know. Go ahead, Beth.
Good for you. Good for you.
Thank you.
And Beth, how about you?
I have Kingdom Rain coming out. That's another Joshua Coates film. He filmed that right after Ageless Love. That should be coming out this summer. A similar premiere, totally different story, not a true story, but, you know, more of an action film. And a couple other things that we shot along the way. I have a couple films coming out this year, so we'll see. But, yeah, other than that, working on QVC, being a mom, and just keeping the grind going, basically trying to plug away.
When can one find you in QVC? You represent a product on QVC, right? A particular brand?
I do.
Or?
Yes, I am branded with Dr. Scholl Shoes is my brand. So whenever
you
see those shoes on, that's when you'll see me.
Wow. Well, great. That's
very
a great welcome. Gig. That's a great gig. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Terrific. Well, listen, I wish you all the very best of continued success, and
thank you.
We look forward to having you as you get projects underway and do more. Please stay in touch with Cornell, and we'll bring you back on, and love to have continued conversations.
Why they got to stay in touch with me? Well, who's me? I'm nobody.
Thank you so much. And Nick and I did one other film together. We didn't say that, Nick. We have a short film coming out, hopefully soon.
Oh, that's
Trinity.
Right. Trinity.
He and
Trinity.
I are the leads again. Yeah, we're the leads again in that, but totally different parts. But
definitely, it's more
not
sci-fi.
Like
it's sci-fi pitch, yeah.
And
done well.
Like
though.
Enemies.
So.
And that should hit the festival circuit. The screenplay itself won all kinds of awards already. That's like written and directed by Manny Murtis. He actually plays my father in Ageless Love. So it's kind of keeping it all in the family, basically.
Yes.
So.
Wow, man. You know, we were talking about, All in the Family. I'm still one of my faves. From the 70s, I guess that was I just saw. I was thinking, I haven't been in the movies myself in over 10 years. I don't go, I just haven't gone to movies. I don't even remember what it's like to go to the movies. I think the last film I saw was Gone with the Wind. No, I've been in the movies since then. let me think here. I don't remember the last movie I saw, but I saw a play in London. I just got back from London, and I saw the play adaptation of the film Dirty Dancing. And
wow.
It was incredible.
Wow.
It was so
wow.
Good.
Was
so,
that amazing?
That must have been beautiful.
I love that movie
so much. And the guy who played Johnny and the girl who played Baby, the main characters, they are actually a couple. So the chemistry on stage was like incredible. It was so, so good. And theater in London, folks, and I know we have an audience in London, that's from Amanda's backyard. Kudos to you. Just amazing theater.
Woohoo!
Amazing. Yeah, it's incredible there. It's like New York is New York, but London is very, very special. It's a great avenue, great things happening all the time. Anyway,
that's amazing.
We'll see you guys here again soon. We'll be back on. Oh my God, we're back tomorrow, aren't we? Are we back tomorrow? The schedule's all messed up. I think are we Friday or tomorrow? What are we doing, Cornell? When are we here again?
We partying.
Whoa! What's on the schedule?
What are
Super Bowl
we?
Party
is vodka Friday, right? Super Bowl party
it's
Friday.
Friday.
Yeah.
And I think I'll be live in Phoenix on Friday. Cornell, I'll be live in Phoenix on Friday.
Definitely
for Super Bowl
on Friday, right? Andy and Amanda.
Yeah. We'll be back tomorrow. It looks like tomorrow, and then Friday is live Super Bowl. I'll be broadcasting from Phoenix, Arizona.
Tomorrow's Thursday.
What?
Tomorrow's
Wednesday.
Right? Is oh, my gosh. My time. Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry. I'm all over the place. I'm doing too much.
Oh, no.
Oh, there's one thing I got to do. I'm not going to leave yet. Oh, guys, you got to hang in to stay in this because it's ready. I'm going to play. I'm going to play it tomorrow, too, whatever. But this is ready, and I can't wait to hear it myself because unless they get cut off, if they cut us off, then they cut us off. But we're going to try to listen to this because I have here – oh, where'd it go? They just sent it to me. I lost it. Darn. Wait a minute. I have – I don't know if you heard – if you guys were on yet. We were talking about the remake of A Few Good Men.
Yeah, I heard briefly. I heard you guys talking about it briefly. Yeah.
What happened was they tried to get Jack Nicholson to – well, they had to get somebody to do what Jack Nicholson did with that part. And it didn't quite – work the way they had planned. So, and maybe we'll play it tomorrow. I guess we're running late here. But anyway, I have a clip from Trump and Tom Cruise doing A Few Good Men. I just don't know. That
oh my
might
God.
Take too long. Yes, it's pretty. Let me see if I can grab it and put it in here. If they give me the time slot to do that. Bear with me here, folks. Anyway, how's the weather back in Philly?
Cold. It's February. You know, not anything. right? It's gloomy. Today wasn't. Yeah.
In LA, it's probably 65, 68. You know, sunny. I'm looking at palm trees. And
rub it in even more. Go ahead. There you go, Beth.
Rub it in.
every day, we did have a brief period of rain, which was a mess. It wasn't rain; it was monsoon, which we desperately needed, actually. But it was really it was an absolute disaster for about 5 days of just pouring rain. And you really, you know, when it's sunny and blue every single day for months on end, when you hear the pitter patter of the raindrop, you know, rain on your roof, it's very, you know, I like it. You know, a cup of coffee, it's cloudy out, cooler, rain, you know, coral pick a
perfect
book,
writing
deal.
Day. That's an atmosphere for perfect. Writers, man. Let me tell you. Oof.
Yeah. And but then when it happens, there's a monsoon. It's no longer pitter patter. It's more like, it's like the Wizard of Oz without the hurricane, without the tornado there. You know what I mean? It was a mess. And I think we made national news. I think we were on national news. It was so bad.
Oh,
but
wow.
Anyway.
Wow.
So
yikes.
I'm trying to get the lowdown here on A Few Good Men, if that is ready to go or not. I'm getting mixed signals here. So it is ready or it's not ready. Here we go. We're going to do it. Here we go. Here we go. Here's Donald Trump playing Colonel Jessup in A Few Good Men here on the Andy DeMena Show.
Colonel, the 6 a.m. flight was the first one off the base?
Fifth Amendment.
There wasn't a flight that left 7 hours earlier and landed at Andrews Air Force Base at 2 a.m.?
I was asking that question.
Guantanamo log lists no flight that left at 11 p.m. and the Andrews log lists no flight that landed at 2 a.m. I'd like to admit them as defense exhibits Alpha and Bravo.
Now I know the answer to that question.
Lieutenant, I think we've covered this, haven't we?
Anyone in my position not taking the Fifth Amendment would be a fool. A
moment ago, you said that you ordered Lieutenant Kendrick to tell his men that Santiago wasn't to be touched.
I don't know what I did wrong, but the answer is yes.
And Lieutenant Kendrick was clear on what you wanted?
Fifth Amendment.
Any chance Lieutenant Kendrick ignored the order?
When your family, your company, and all the people in your orbit have become the targets of an unfounded, politically motivated witch hunt, supported by lawyers, prosecutors, and even the fake news media, you really have no choice.
Any chance Lieutenant Kendrick left your office and said, the old man is wrong?
An absolute fool.
When Lieutenant Kendrick spoke to the platoon and ordered them not to touch Santiago, any chance they ignored him?
We're not allowed to talk about this.
Colonel, I have just one more question before I call Airman O'Malley and Airman Rodriguez. If you gave an order that Santiago wasn't to be touched, and your orders are always followed, then why would Santiago be in danger? Why would it be necessary to transfer him off the base?
Under the advice of my counsel and for all of the above reasons, I respectfully decline to answer the questions under the rights and privileges afforded to every citizen under the United States Constitution. This will be my answer to any further questions.
Santiago shouldn't have been in any danger at all, should he have, Colonel?
Fifth Amendment, Fifth Amendment, Fifth Amendment.
Lieutenant Kendrick ordered the code red, didn't he? Because that's what you told Lieutenant Kendrick to do.
I decline to answer the question.
Colonel Jessup, did you order the code red?
The mob takes the fifth.
To be continued.
I think that was great. I think that was excellent.
You're like, what the hell? No, I'm just
there's
great.
More.
Put that together, man.
That's the teaser. There's more. It continues, but we'll call it there because in the interest of time.
Hey, they'll do it on Vodka Friday.
We'll do it on Vodka Friday. We'll do Vodka Friday. Yes.
Oh, nice. I'm in on that one.
Yeah, join in. We all be drunk.
Hilarious. Only if I get to come to Arizona. That's the deal.
Yeah, it's gonna be nice. It's gonna be fun hanging around Philly people, and you know, there's some Eagles bars here in LA, and I've been to a few of them, and it's great. When I saw the Super Bowl 52, I guess it was, I went to a place in Highland Park, which is close to Pasadena, near where I live, and I went to it. I mean, it was just packed with two bars, an overflow bar and a main one. That wasn't just Eagles fans; it was people from Philadelphia. I mean, just packed. And you think you were on Broad Street. I mean, it was just absolutely amazing singing "Fly Eagles Fly" and all the Eagles. It was just so great. It was great. I felt like WIP was going to be broadcasting live from there or something like that. It was incredible.
That's amazing.
Yeah. All right. Time's yours. No, okay, anyway. No,
it's so funny. That's what the contest was called that I won. It was called the Time's Yours Contest because Andy Reid was the coach at the time. So they did it for his, whenever he speaks to the press, he always says, time's yours. So that's what they called it. That's so funny you just said that.
Oh, my. Great minds think alike, I'll tell you. Well, listen, folks, we're going to call it a day, and we'll see you back here tomorrow. And then again on Friday, live from Phoenix, Friday, covering the Super Bowl and the Andy and Amanda Show. And we have a lot of guests coming up and a lot of subjects we're going to be talking about and covering, everything from – well, we'll just leave it at that and just ask everybody to continue listening and tuning in to the Andy and Amanda Show. And our number to join us anytime we're on live, which is Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. For the most part, this is an exception, at 3 p.m. Pacific time, which is 6 o'clock over there in the East Coast and 11 p.m. in the U.K. You can also email the show at andyandamandashow@gmail.com and let us know what you think. And you can also request to get on the show anywhere in the world, that way we send you a link, and all you need is speakers or a headset and a microphone, and you can talk to us from wherever you are situated on the planet Earth and beyond. Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. This has been so much fun with our special guest from the movie Ageless Love, Beth, and we'll have you back again. And Nick, I don't know. No,
Johnny.
Man, that's why.
Forget it everywhere I go, man.
Wait till you guys see this movie. You are going to. I hope you guys love this movie when you see it. You'll definitely want Nick back then.
I'm going to watch it tonight.
Oh, yes. Tonight. Thank you, Cornell. I appreciate you.
You're welcome. Very welcome.
Well, all the best, folks. We will. Hey, Amanda. Is Amanda still here?
Amanda. She's like, I hate football. No, I'm kidding.
I was great. Amanda did a.
No, Amanda said, I quit.
Yeah, she quit. But anyway, when I wanted to use it. But anyway, for now, we're going to. Okay, no, I'll sign this off. Bye. We'll see you all on tomorrow on the Andy Demand Show. Thanks for joining us, folks. All the very, very best. Thanks for listening. You all take care. Bye-bye now.
Thanks so much. Bye.